Today's episode of Young and Happy is brought to you by the Dollar Shave Club. There's no reason to use cheap disposable razors or pay a ridiculously high price for some gimmicky thing that's got a laser pointer with 17 blades. Make the smarter choice and join Dollar Shave Club like I did. Before Dollar Shave Club, it was either save money and get a painful shave with a disposable one like the ones they give away for free at the gym, which felt like shaving with a piece of glass, or pay a fortune for the latest gimmicky shave breakthrough that I didn't need, like a laser chin detector. WTF, man. Dollar Shave Club is the best of both worlds, a premier shave at a disposable price. Love this razor, the best razor. Get a close, smooth shave every time, and you can't beat the convenience or the price of the club. If you haven't tried Dollar Shave Club yet, you're missing out. It's an amazing shave at an affordable price. There's no smarter choice on the market. And right now, they're giving away a one-month trial of any of the razors for $1 with free shipping. That's $1 with free shipping. And after that, it's just a few bucks a month. There's no long-term commitments, no hidden fees. You can cancel whenever you want. Get your $1 trial at dollarshaveclub.com/yah. Young and happy. Yah. Y-A-H. That's dollarshaveclub.com/yah. Y-A-H. Let's get it.
I'm just trying to make things more fun and more interactive.
Glad from the wow way, baby.
Did I express myself? Did I let my light shine through?
You can do anything you put your mind to. Never give up on your dreams.
I be living for the moment.
Every day, Saturday, and every day I feel good.
You got no sauce, man. You're lost.
This is Young and Happy.
So, Young and Happy. This week's episode is a reverse engineered episode. Exactly. Give it up for reverse engineering.
Let's do that. Who came up with reverse engineering, first of all?
You did, Caleb. That was your idea.
No. Who came up? Hey, can we get some research, producer Ben, who's in the house today two times in a row? That's two episodes that I've alerted him that they were going to go down, and two times he showed up. He's 100%. Can we look up reverse engineering in origin? All right, go ahead, Ron.
So that means that a lot of times people wait for the news to happen, and then they write the story, and then they write the headline. Caleb and I have decided that we are going to write the headline and let the story fall into place. And so Caleb hit me up, and he said, "Let's brainstorm. Let's get the most the best title for it, and we'll go backwards from there." And so we ping ponged a couple titles back and forth. And the title that we settled on for this show, you probably already know because you clicked on it, but the title is Grown Women Pooping Their Pants.
Producer Ben, what do you think about that? You didn't know that, did you? Oh, he didn't have his earphones on. The title of the episode that we reverse engineered, and you're about to tell us what reverse engineering, what the origin of it. The title of the episode today is Grown Women Pooping Their Pants.
I like it.
All right, what's the origin? Give it to us.
World War II or the Cold War.
So, okay.
What do you mean?
They were reverse engineered. Well-known examples. We want to do a war.
Yeah, example.
Well-known examples from World War II include the V-2 rocket, the jerry can, and the K-13, and the R.
But like how? What do you mean? They're just reverse engineering?
It doesn't give that much information.
Come on, let me see. I don't believe that.
Does that reverse mean that they just came up with a cool name for a rocket and we're like, we're going to make this rocket?
Listen. Reverse engineering is often used by people in order to copy other nations' technologies, devices, or information that they have been obtained by regular troops. So what I'm taking from that is that you see someone else doing something really cool and you're like, okay, I know this is the end product I want. I got to start at the end product and work back to how do I get there. To use that for what we're doing today, we want the end product, a lot of people to listen to the show, by having a unique title. So we reverse engineered from that's a clickable title to this is the show today. And it's about grown women pooping in their pants. Face it.
Grown women pooping their pants. Like if it's something that you think doesn't happen in the world, you are turning a blind eye to a problem that is surely going on in the world. Men poop their pants, sure, and we get to have a lot of laughs about it. But if you think that grown women don't poop their pants, well, I'm sorry.
You're
sadly mistaken.
You're living in an alternate reality. The crazy thing is, like, people don't even think girls poop at all. It's like, not only do they poop, sir, let me raise you one. They're pooping in the places they shouldn't be.
Yeah, they're pooping on accident.
Maybe a good time for a short story that I wrote on the way here, Ron.
Wow. This is a Caleb Presley original. This was our homework. We brought home a little homework. And this is a short story that you came back with.
Yeah. So what? Basically, last night we decided, hey, let's write some short stories about grown women pooping in their pants. And shortly after that decision, I lost my creative spark. So I was like, I'll write in the morning. So on the way here this morning, and this hasn't been revised. This was literally something I wrote on the commute here, which luckily today, for me, was way too long. It's like an hour.
Imagine if someone looked over your shoulder and was what is this guy doing on the phone? Is he writing a poop ode? A poop odyssey?
Yeah, in the title of it, the very top in all caps, The Woman Who Pooped in the Plaza. Okay, it's very short. It's very short, and I hope it makes sense because I haven't read it back yet. All right, The Woman Who Pooped in the Plaza by Caleb Presley. She pooped right there, right where you're standing. 10 years ago to this day, squatted down in the middle of a crowded dance floor on a beautiful night in San Diego, and pooped. This whole area was rented out for the governor's birthday. She secretly still loved him. She publicly still supported him. The last 2 years had been rough. Their campaign trips were filled with fighting. And tonight was her final public blowout.
Oh, no.
She pooped.
Intentional pooping?
She pooped right in the middle of the plaza. She splattered her feces across the pavement with great force and power. With the confidence of someone operating completely within the rules of the law, she pulled up her dress and dumped on the ground. To this day, no one knows why she did it. To this day, no one knows where she is. The only thing that's clear is that that girl pooped in the plaza.
Oh, my God.
The end.
Wow. The most stimulating sense of that for me was the confidence of a woman knowing that she's fully within the boundaries of the law. What does that even mean? So she was legally just she was doing a legal poop exhibition.
No, it was completely illegal. I was just saying that that girl had some confidence about her.
That's even funnier. It was just illegal, but she was just intentionally pooping in the law.
I wonder what happened to her. Dude, I might write a sequel, like the follow up. I might write a prequel, too. I don't know what's coming next. I might write a prequel or a sequel. I might reverse engineer Of course. Except that's a prequel. It's another great example of reverse engineering.
It was beautiful. It was the way you teased the story about the governor, and I felt the tension in their marriage. I felt that there had been something wrong, and the only outlet was to poop in the middle of the governor's ball.
Do you think that marital problems had some way related to her pooping, or like yeah, just like or just bathroom trips? Yeah. Like maybe he was a bullshitter. Maybe he was a bullshitter.
That's genius. He was a shit talker.
He's talking too much shit.
You want to talk that shit? You want to talk a bunch of shit? I'll shit on the middle of the floor in San Diego.
Right in your birthday.
Couldn't go to SeaWorld. We couldn't take a picture. What the fuck is wrong with you? Shit in the middle of the floor. Imagine the people at that cocktail party who are just like cheersing, and they look over and it's like, is that the governor's wife pooping in the middle of the dance floor?
Yeah, I'm about to see how racist you are right now.
Yeah,
it's a black couple.
What?
Yeah.
I'm about to see how sexist you are. The governor is a female.
No, it says her husband. Husband?
I thought we were just talking marriage problems.
Actually, now that I look back and look at the story, it's a lesbian black couple.
Yeah, it's a lesbian black couple. Yeah,
if you read the story, you're not a racist sexist, it's a lesbian black couple. That's how the author wanted it to be.
Mitchell told us a riddle when he was in town, just to name drop your friend, but he told us a riddle where the punchline was that the doctor was a female, and so you just Mitchelled me. Now, thanks to him, we're more aware human beings, and thanks to him, we're more inclusive in society.
Yeah. So if you thought that white straight women were the only people who pooped publicly,
you got another thing coming,
sister. You're living in the past, you unprogressive punk.
Yeah, this is a new age where any man, woman, or child. It was actually a trans woman, man that had done it. It wasn't even a woman.
Well, the crazy thing about their relationship was that not only was she black, they weren't both black. She was black, and her wife was Puerto Rican. But the crazy thing about their relationship is they actually started out husband and wife, and it was actually a black man and a Puerto Rican woman. But the black man was transitioning, a transitioning female, turning into a female, and had actually just got the operation recently. But they decided to stay together because they truly love each other for their minds, and they didn't care about the body. They didn't care about the physical.
And
that's
actually,
a crazy thing about that story.
But couples like that fight too, and so you're just assuming that their world is perfect because they have perfectly skin-colored babies. But no, their world actually can fall apart just like any piece of not solid shit.
Yeah, and the governor was pregnant. That's the craziest thing. So basically, the baby's going to be was conceived with straight parents, and it will be born with lesbian parents. However, same parents. Put that
through actually, your mind. The fact that you said pregnant is. There's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot to unpack in that short story.
It really is a ton. But the fact that you said pregnant, it actually brings me to a segue that I want to make, because I went on Reddit and I found some of the best stories about people pooping their pants. And what's great about that community is that women were happy to tell the story. So can I read one of the Reddit stories that starts off with, I was pregnant?
Yeah, please.
Starts off with, I was pregnant. It's going to end in...
Please.
All right, here we go. It's, I was pregnant about 4 months along. Every day I would take my dog for a long morning walk. About halfway through, I realized that I needed to poop and I better turn around and head back home. I was confident that I could walk the 1.5 miles back to my house, but I was a poo holding because I was a poo holding superhero. I'd gone longer than that after getting drunk, eating a burrito the size of a baby, and snorting two huge lines of Coke.
What?
The thing is, so this is a person who got pregnant later in life, so anyone can get pregnant. Thing is, pooping and peeing after your first trimester happens in ways that you were no longer in control of. The last four blocks were hell. I was dragging my dog, doing yoga breathing, clenching my butt cheek so tightly that I was walking like I was wearing leg braces. I race walked back to the door, threw it open, and told my significant other to get out of the way. He blocked me like a linebacker and said, does my honey bunny have to take a big dumpy wumpy? And he gave me a squeeze and a tickle, and I exploded into my yoga pants and started crying. It took me days to forgive him.
Oh, man. Can I clear something up with you?
Yes.
So she's in her what trimester?
4 months along, so second
and
trimester.
And she just, was just railing two lines of Coke before her walks? What is wrong with her?
No. I think she's saying that another time in life, she had held in a huge shit because she got drunk, ate a burrito the size of a baby, and did lines of Coke. She said that's like her all-time butt-clenching story.
Oh, so like
first
when
of all,
she goes back to like her poo-holding resume, it's like there's this one time where I was like on a lot of stimulants then diuretics that basically I basically ate the worst food that makes you want to poop immediately, and then I also took a bunch of illegal diuretics, and then I still did not poop, and therefore for the rest of my life, if I want to hold in something that is trying to be extinguished from the insides of my body. What's the word expunged? Is that a word?
Expunged has to be the new word for
expunged.
It. Holding in a shit out. Because expunged is a word.
Expunged.
You threw plunge in there.
But plunge is like a poop word. Okay, it's expunge. Erase or remove completely something unwanted or unpleasant. But if you're if you're expunging something, then that means you're going to need the plunger afterwards. So expunging is whenever you're holding a poop for a long time, and then all of a sudden, it finally comes out. And this happens to me all the time in this office because the bathroom is right next to like 10 rows of girls.
Yeah, oh man, that's terrible.
So if it's like I think I can sneak it out silently, I'll go into the bathroom and just do it real quick. But then if I know it's going to be a big one, I just hold it. And I end up, like yesterday, I expunged into the sweet green bathroom.
No way.
I was like, I have to go somewhere else. I'll
that kale, the kale drags it right out of you.
Is it the kale?
I think so. Anytime I have the kale Caesar, I feel like the kale is just a fishnet that's just catching everything.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
But if any listeners have any cool stories about something like this, write it up and hashtag expunged.
Yeah,
hashtag expunge for us.
Write it into a screenshotable short story. So like, don't worry about the words. Don't worry about how many words a story has to be. If it's screenshotable into one on your notes on your iPhone, then we would like to see it. And it can be a short story that's true or false.
Dude, I wonder if we can give some kind of prize to like if a girl tells us an expunging story. I wonder if
we get one girl, one.
We'll send. Can we send them like a bar, some Barstool gear or some shit like that? Like, yeah, at least like a t-shirt or some shit, yeah, like that. Or fucking, we got to get our show gear just so we can send them something.
Yeah.
If you just hashtag a story, a female hashtag, yep, a story about expunging.
We'll make that happen. That's a thing now. That's a thing now. But we're gonna need proof you're female. Don't make a fake Twitter account. We're gonna need female proof. We're gonna need.
we're gonna need
proof.
Someone's gonna need to pat you down. It's gonna be bad. Yeah, I spent a lot of time reading poop stories yesterday on Reddit, and I too wanted to write a short story. I wanted to write my own poop short story, and I wound up really getting into it. It's not crazy long, but it's a couple paragraphs. It's a few paragraphs long. Should I get into my poop ode?
Yes, please, please. And can I just ask our listenership, can you at least come into an open mind to this story, unlike the last one? You racist sexists, at least have an open mind coming into this one.
Be a lot of different things. So I'm going to just read it in my voice so you don't put some other you know, feel free to put an accent on it in your mind, but just be open, okay?
Okay, I got it.
I was in the mall on a Saturday in hour 9 of a day of marathon shopping. I like to get there early on Saturdays to beat the crowd, so I always plan to eat 3 square meals at the mall. That particular day's menu was 2 pretzel dogs from Annie Ann's for breakfast, 3 Crunchwrap Supremes and the cheesy potatoes for an outside-the-bun lunch, and some Mrs. Fields soft bake for dinner. I also consumed upwards of 20 complimentary toothpicks of General Tso's chicken outside Panda Express in an effort to stay fueled during my rounds. I was lugging 8 bags of loot I'd scored at a Wet Seal going out of business sale when I caught the unmistakable aroma of Cinnabon aggressively invading my nostrils. I floated to the register like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, entranced by a smell, and asked the boy with a thin mustache for one of his Cinnabon buns that he was holding. He told me that they had been undercooked and would have to be thrown out. I said, no, it's okay. I like them a little gooey. He started to protest, but he could tell by the look in my eyes that I meant business. He poured the soupy mess into a box, and I ordered a side frosting and made my way to a table in the middle of the still busy food court. The first bite was like plunging my tongue into the idea of the word sugar. The goo and frosting were slipping through the tongs of my plastic fork that they gave me, so I held the box close to my face as I whisked the warmth into my mouth. I wanted to savor the intense flavor so much that I concentrated on the entire trajectory of the Cinnabon into my gullet, and I swore I could feel it hitting the rest of the food in my stomach. In the moment of the food shifting in my bowels, I felt the familiar need to politely expel a pinch of gas. I lifted my left cheek to discreetly acquit myself, but instead of the sweet relief of flatulation, I felt a bubble of warmth. I immediately knew what it was, and I tried to close the storm door, but it was too late. I was wearing my favorite pair of boot-cut, skin-tight white jeans from Express, and they were so tight that my little trouser pal couldn't exit down the leg. The pressure forced it up. As I squirmed to steady myself in my seat, it wriggled over the top of my waistline, and squeezed out to the back of my seat. I was mortified. No one had noticed, but I heard ripples through the crowd as people started to catch the smell. I discreetly tried to tied 3 faux leather jackets from Wet Seal together to make a makeshift skirt around my waist. I tiptoed directly out of the mall, got in the car, immediately ripped off my jeans, RIP, and left them on the ground in the parking lot. I started to drive away, but my body immediately made it clear that there was unfinished business. I pulled into a corner of the parking lot, walled myself off with my car door, and expelled the rest of the heat into a large Wet Seal bag, which I left, sopping, on the side of the parking lot. God bless whoever had to clean that up, but as my grandma always says, better an empty house than an unwelcome guest. And so, yeah, that's my story about pooping myself.
Yo, she just expunged herself and just... She opened her storm door and expunged herself into a Wet Seal bag on the side of the street.
Right in the parking lot, in this big parking lot.
Girls these days.
I can't believe that a grown woman did that.
Good
I cannot believe
God.
That she ate that. I can't believe that she just pooped in the middle of the food court, and I cannot believe that she just filled up a bag of shit. I appreciated her language and all her not using that much cursing, but she just had a huge bag of shit.
Let's just call it what it is. I mean, but the thing about her is, like, the whole time, I mean, you felt bad for her because, like, it's embarrassing, and she had to lose her jeans, and, you know, it's just a tough spot to be in.
Favorite jeans.
But with that being said, dude, she had to have realized that something like this might happen if you put that type of food in your body. Over and over again, you're going to eat this mall food, this middle of the mall food, and then you're going to expect not to have to poop? What, I mean, what was her
not
thinking?
Not only is she's stacking on so much food, but also she's been systematically weakening her digestive system. She's been beating up her intestines. She doesn't have anything. There's no defense left in there.
The stomach is like an onion, and she's just peeling layer by layer of the defense systems. And all of a sudden, dude, I worry about her. You know how she's doing now?
I unfortunately don't. That's the last I've heard of her. But from what I understand, she just is continuing to live her life on that dangerous cycle. It's like a motorcycle rider who gets in an accident and just hops right back on it in the next Sunday and is just freewheeling around with all the other motorcycle people. She's wild. She is just a wild Midwestern.
She's in like the Hell's Angels, huh?
Yep, the Hell's Angels of expungement.
Yo, can I? Okay, we had to do an ad read, but I want to just take this opportunity to do our Hell's Angels spot of the week. Did you know, Ron, that I learned this in the past week, that at a Rolling Stones concert, so basically, to my understanding, there was Woodstock, right? Woodstock happened. Can we look up when Woodstock happened?
My guess is 68.
Is it 68?
That's a guess, though.
Are you just saying that's just that it's because it comes before 69? Is that a funny joke? Okay, 1969 it happened, Woodstock. It was a summer of... Can we get Summer of 69 to play right here? Okay. So basically, Woodstock happens. And then, Producer Ben, can you look up whenever Rolling Stones in San Francisco, what it was called? So anyways, the Rolling Stones, right after Woodstock, go out to San Francisco. The Rolling Stones are like the bad boys of music at that time. They're like, I'm trying to think who would be comparable now. Like maybe like 21 Savage? I don't know. I really don't know. Like someone where everywhere they went, violence ensued, public outrage ensued, police protests. I mean,
Dolph. They're the Young Dolph.
Exactly. They're the Young Dolph of the 1960s. So like basically they're just going around causing so much trouble. Half the thing is going to hear them play, and half the thing is you're going to see some things. It's just a ratchet atmosphere. So after it's like all, I think I want to say it's like the Altima Music Festival. Altamont? Yeah, the Altamont Free Concert. It was what it was called. Can we look up when it was? So right after Woodstock. Right. So it's still in 69. So right after Woodstock, basically this Altamont Free Concert, they're trying to capitalize on the success, and everyone was talking and had the buzz of Woodstock. So basically, it's hippies out in San Francisco, same deal, but they're like, no police. Zero police. Hell's Angels. We're going to hire the Hell's Angels to
be security,
be the governing body. Keep in mind, not only are the Hell's Angels doing crazy stuff like eating middle of the mall food and expecting not to poop like your girl, but these people are on drugs. Heavy drugs. Known for violence. I don't watch the motorcycle series. What's it called? What the freak is this?
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I don't watch it. I don't know if it's about the Hell's Angels.
But also, Hunter Thompson's, one of his craziest books was a book where he was like embedded with the Hell's Angels and like live with them, and they're just crazy. They're just fighting, doing drugs. It's a good read.
Have you read it?
And I haven't read many books in my life, but that is one that I have read, and they're just out there fucking fighting, doing drugs, raping.
They do meth. I mean, it's just like they're on like meth, heroin, so on and so forth.
What better people to have as cops?
Maybe that's book of the week. I think I might go get that today. I was looking for a book yesterday. But anyways,
yeah,
so they are the they're not the governing body. They're the police
law.
Institution. They're the law of this concert, the Altamont Free Concert, 1969, right after Woodstock, Rolling Stones headlining. Rolling Stones goes on, and they're used to riots. They're used, their shows don't last longer than 10 minutes because they get shut down, people on the stage, girls passing out, so on and so forth. They're scared. literally scared because they're like, this is not going well. They can see the all the Hell's Angels are on like meth. They all want to hurt somebody. They're all just walking around. I've seen the footage. It's really crazy. You can look it up on the internet. During the concert, not so far into it, they're like, guys, what's his name? What, oh, my God. What's the Rolling Stones lead singer's name? Not a great day for my memory.
Alice Cooper. It's all good.
No, not Alice Cooper. Mick Jagger. Sorry, not having a rough morning. But Mick Jagger's like, everyone, guys, chill out. Chill out, man. However they talking in the 70s, 69. Meanwhile,
he was probably ahead of his time talking how they talked in the 70s.
While he's telling them to stop, everyone be calm, a dude from the Hell's Angels, in order to, I guess, try to calm everyone down, stabs this dude mercilessly, stabs this guy over and over in the back, and then I think he ends up shooting him. Yeah,
what?
Killed a guy, front row. Killed a guy at the Rolling Stones concert.
Just to be like, yo, you guys better be calm or I'm going to keep fucking
killing you guys.
Committing acts of...
Literally, dude. You guys have to look this up. It's unbelievable. I heard about this past week.
What was the guy doing?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's like they said someone said he saw he had a gun. What I think it was is I just think they are on drugs. The Hell's Angels are on drugs. And there's your Hell's Angels story for the day. Today's Young and Happy. Today's Young and Happy is brought to you by Hanes. What a segue. What a time to be sponsored by Hanes.
What an episode.
What an episode to be sponsored by Hanes.
Absolutely. Hanes are the best. Okay. You really can't beat a Hanes anything.
Let's talk about Hanes. And now a word about something near and dear to all of us guys, our underwear. Gentlemen,
I see what they did there.
At the end.
Joke.
Gentlemen, at the end of a long day, our socks, drawers, and undershirts start to develop a certain aroma. We all get a little funky from time to time. There's no escaping it. That's why Hanes invented Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology. Hanes with Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology attacks bacteria and keeps fabric from absorbing man funk and other unpleasant smells. That means your socks, tees, and boxers smell fresher longer. So forget smart watches or fitness trackers. This is the latest and greatest in wearable tech. The underwearable wonder of odor-controlling Hanes with Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology. Right now, all Young and Happy listeners, that's you. If you're listening, you are, by definition, a Young and Happy listener. That's good marketing by them, by the way. All Young and Happy listeners can get this. The only way you can get it is listening to Young and Happy. It's literally the only way you'd even know it exists. It's like if a tree falls in the woods. Just a thought. Okay. Young and Happy listeners can get 25% off Hanes with Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology products at Hanes.com with promo code FRESH. Happy, no space, FRESHHAPPY. Some exclusions apply. So to replace your old ratty boxer briefs, yellowed undershirts, and mismatched socks, there'll never be a better time to upgrade your obsolete undergarments with a Fresh IQ branding of socks, shirts, underwear from Hanes. America's number one underwear. Hanes with Fresh IQ of Advanced Odor Protection Technology, the smart way to stay fresh. The crazy thing about Hanes here is... One, it's a great product. Two, it fits with the theme of the show. But three, they made me say Fresh IQ Odor Protection Technology so many times, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to forget it. So maybe that's good.
Yeah, that is a good phrase. Fresh IQ Odor Protection Technology.
Whenever I read that, I also was like, yo, this sounds like Ron's writing this ad.
Just saying ridiculous words.
Yeah. So when's the last time you pooped your pants?
To be honest with you, it has only happened one time in my life, but it has happened to me before. It wasn't like a thunderous applause of poop coming out of my pants. It wasn't an avalanche of poop, but and I'm a man, actually, by the way, and this show is about women pooping their pants, but I'm happy to share my story for your struggle so you know that this side of the aisle is experiencing just what you're going through, ladies. I know you're shitting your pants all the time, so I can empathize. But I was just walking. I lived in Manayunk, which is a part of Philly that like is on a hill. It's like a huge, it's like a steep hill. Like the entire town, it was a mill town, and so it's just built almost vertically up. and there's bars at the bottom of the hill, and I lived at the top of the hill. And I was walking out to the bar with about eight friends one night, and I was just going down the hill. And very familiar to a lot of stories that I've read, it was just a fart that I wanted to slip out. And it was just, it wasn't a fart. It wasn't at all a fart. And it was just, it just was a kind of a turd in my pants. And I just went to, I just played it as normal. I just was horrified on the inside, but just marched into the bar, went right to the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
And pooped. And I finished my poop and I threw out my underwear, and I knew that the bathroom attendant, I mean, I had to throw out my shitty underwear. So I gave the bathroom attendant some extra money and
to keep it on the low,
like kind of
hush money.
Yeah. I just kind of like smiled. It was, well, I just like, there was a tip thing. So I just like gave him a generous tip but it was so early in the night that no one was even in the bathroom yet. So it was perfect. And there, so like I just threw it out, gave him like $20 or something and left.
So you paid I
got away with it.
A Philly bathroom attendant hush money?
Bathroom attendant about me. Yeah, I guess that is, I'm burying the lead right there to after I poop my pants. And I'm trying to think what bar it was. It's the Brew Pub. It was the Matty Young Brew Pub, for any Philly people that know. Iconic bathroom that I one time threw up, not my favorite underwear, but a pair of underwear I like pretty much.
Hey, and underwear is important. Like, there's definitely, when I go in the morning and I look at my underwear options that are clean, I don't just like pick a random one. Like, I'm like, where's my favorite ones? There's definitely a difference between grade A underwear and lower shelf underwear.
It's so funny that this is all coming full circle today, because here's a personal thing that I'll add about my life. I'm going to have to go commando today, because 2 days ago I have an outdoor laundry room, and I was walking in to do my laundry, and I saw a mouse run across the laundry room floor. And I was like, fuck this, I'm not doing fucking laundry. There's fucking a mouse in there. I have to share the room with the mouse. I have to potentially encounter a mouse. I'm not trying to fucking run into a mouse. And
dude,
so,
it's outdoors. I've been to your house. It's outdoors. You don't think there's going to be animals coming through there?
I didn't want to see it. Didn't want to come face to face with it. So I'm going commando today. I'm going to reattack laundry tonight. I'm just going to go balls to the wall. We're doing our first day of taping today, and I'm.
Oh man, give us an update on how that's going. A lot of people always ask me how you're doing. We got too many people asking me, "Hey, when's Ron coming back?" I'm like, "Dude, he left. He said he's going to be gone for 13 weeks. Subtract however many weeks he's been gone. I assume he'll be back at the end of 13."
Yeah, you do the math.
Yeah, it's like a Google thing. It's like people ask you, "Yo, what's your schedule?" That's when we play football. They're like, "Oh yeah, what's your schedule this year?" What, you want me to just type out my whole schedule? Why don't you just Google it, dude? But okay, so give us an update on how you're doing, the whole deal.
When do you guys play in Philly?
Well, look it up.
It's going well. Or like another one is like, where can I find that video? Like the internet, like just go and search the video. Yeah. Just YouTube probably, the home of all videos.
Yeah.
Or
another one too. So my people from back home, like, man, I see all that work you're doing, Barstool, man. You're killing it. Where can I look? I want to follow you, man. Like, well, Barstool. You can start on Barstool.
A mile long.
Yeah, I got like, yeah, it's on the internet. You follow, you see it. Like, I post it. I promote it pretty well. I promote pretty much everything I'm doing.
I was talking about it, and there's like hubs of places where people go to follow people.
Basically, aggregating. I'm a part of aggregation communities where I basically just put out exactly what I'm doing. So, to a self. anyways, okay. Everybody. How are you doing, Ron? How are you doing in LA?
I'm good, man. It's our first day of shooting today. For Drop the Mic, yeah. Our host and co-host just got announced yesterday. It's Method Man and Haley Baldwin. So I can finally talk about that. That's what I've been hanging out with Method Man, because he's the host. And then Haley Baldwin is the co-host. Have you heard of Haley Baldwin?
Yeah,
she's
I have.
Steve Baldwin's
I'm trying to...
daughter. And she's like best friends with the Jenner family and like fucking Jaden Smith and shit like that. She's a cool girl.
I'm looking at her right now, and I don't necessarily recognize her, but I have heard her name a bunch. Oh, Haley Baldwin and Justin Bieber. Is she like boyfriend girlfriend with Justin Bieber? Yeah, she's kissed Justin Bieber. Let's just put it that, because there's pictures of them kissing. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so that's our co-host, and that just got announced by TBS yesterday. Today we're shooting the first episode. We're really doing it, and so I'm going to be just coaching. You'll see who the people are in the episode. I'm just going to be coaching them on how to rap. I'm just going to be like sitting with them for a couple hours and like teaching them how to rap. It should be pretty cool. I think it should be pretty fun.
Are you going to be on the episode at all?
Fun process.
Are you going to be on the show?
I think there's some packages that I could have like a small part in. I'm like writing the packages, obviously writing the raps.
So you're right. So when they do the raps, we should know that you wrote it.
Not 100% of it. I'm part of a group that wrote it, and obviously there's like layers through it. Like they're not just going to be like. Like you can't say foul shit about them because like no one's gonna want to do the show. But like you have to, so it's within like the lines of approval from like a writer's room, executive producers, other writers, their publicists, them, like the network. There's a lot of layers that it has to go through. But I've got there's some lines in there that you'll hear that I 100% wrote, and you might be able to tell that I wrote them.
So how long? Like it's taping tonight. Like, when does the show come out?
I just got a text right now talking to you. Can you come in early? So I guess throughout the entire day, we're just going to be filming just little packages, media stuff. And then the actual shoot itself will probably take 2 or 3 hours at the end of the day.
But like, when does it come out?
First episode's May 2nd.
May 2nd. Okay. So when do you get back? Do you know the date when you come back to Barstool in New York City?
Yeah, just do the math. It's just 13 weeks, bro.
I was wondering if you had it. Like, I was like, I don't want to do the math. I just didn't know if will you be back by the time the show airs? Like, will we be with you watching these?
No, I think it's like right after that. I think it's like the first episode, I'll still be out here, but then right after that.
Okay. I'll tell you what, man. We miss you in the office. I know I miss you more probably than everyone else because we literally, our days before you left, it was like we just worked on projects together, and then now you left, and it's like now I'm just by myself.
But it's going to be so good when I get back. It's because I feel like I just have a whole new appreciation for preparation, writing, what it takes to put into a TV show. I have all these guests. I can't wait to fucking do whole episodes with Young and Happy with the guests and everything like that. It's going to be freaking sick. It's going to all be worth it.
Yeah.
But what's going on in the office? There seems like there's so much tension right now. Everybody is fucking tense. Do you guys? I said this in some of my interviews. I'm a glue guy. I don't have any of the most talented skills anywhere, but I think I bring people together. Let me get back in there and let's mend some fences. Let's all get back on the same page, huh, Ben? What do you say, pal? Huh?
No, I think you are a glue guy, first of all. But basically, my understanding of it is just that it's been so long that people are finally, because it's like anything, all relationships for the most part, you don't want to fight people the first time you're with them. It's like, after right. half of a year of being with them, then you start to notice some qualities that might be on your nerves. I think the thing that's really put over the top in the office is that Young Page Views, who's running his weekly series about the behind the scenes, in order to get stuff for behind the scenes, he stirs the pot a little bit where we didn't necessarily have that. You will find, I think, listeners of Young and Happy, that I'm not in a lot of the stool scenes for the reason that I don't get involved with these things.
You don't participate in the drama. That's smart. Yo, swing your mic back over to where it was. Starting to like click again.
Right here? Can you not hear me?
Yeah, over to yeah. It was like a clicking. It was in and out. Yeah.
Sounds good right here?
Yeah, that's way better.
Okay. But
I'm dead serious. Okay. But now I can see you better too. I
thought you were messing with me. No. So anyways, it's just people. I think you are a glue guy. I think we need you back in here, man. We need you back in the mix. But it's cold here. How's the weather there? It's freaking cold and terrible here.
Dude,
how about you?
I'm looking outside. There's not one cloud in the sky. It's fantastic. But wait, I got to circle back to him instigating. Like, so does he? Because I'm sure listeners have the same questions I do. Because I'm looking from an outside perspective. Like, what do you mean? Like, do you think he instigates? But just by putting a camera in your face?
No, he'll put the camera in your face. But then he'll say, "What do you think about so and so saying this? Like, what do you think about Roan saying that he's the glue guy at the office, Caleb?" That's what he'll come up to me and say. I thought you were kind of the glue guy. What do you think about Roan saying that? And then you get a guy saying like, well, I you know, says something bad, and then he puts it. He's a what do you call this type of person? He's an instigator.
He's an instigator.
Yeah. So I mean, that's kind of why the fights are popping off. Oh, you still there, Roan? Roan.
It's like there was an earthquake there or something.
What if there was? That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think he's okay, Pete?
At this point, I have some concerns.
Huh. Hope not. That's a real thing. Okay, everyone. Sorry for difficulties and lack of Rome, but there was apparently an earthquake out in California because he just went offline and could not be detected via Skype. However, thanks to modern technology, we have him here on FaceTime, which might not be the best audio quality, but he is here to help us wrap up this episode of Pooping on Young and Happy.
No, it's actually more about grown women pooping, but that's nice to make it about make everybody feel included, but this is mostly about grown women pooping this episode. But pooping their pants.
But we want to be inclusive. Like, this is an inclusive show, so even though we're focusing on women, that we also are thinking of trans men. Sexuality is a sliding scale. Wherever you may fall, this episode is about romantics. You and how you relate to poop in the pants.
Let's not forget the aromantics of the world.
Yeah, baby, I'm a savage. I am aromantic.
Hey. Do we have a lot of other things to talk about?
No, I think we're wrapping up.
I have a question about how much. What do you hear about the NFL draft, bro? You excited for the NFL draft? What's good with? I feel like we owe the people a little bit of Mitchell news.
I mean, I'm not. I removed myself from being the Mitchell news guy. But I'll say this: I'm excited for the NFL draft. He was with Gruden this week. He said it went well. That episode will come out towards the NFL draft, I think. But he said everything went well. He said he felt like he performed well, and you know, I don't want to be the Mitchell news guy.
But we are rooting for him. He is our guy. We're his guy. This land is your land. This land is my land.
Of course, of course. All right. So that was this episode of Young and Happy. You have anything else, Ron, you want to add about women who poop the pants? Any advice to them going forward?
Just be who you are. You know, if you have to poop yourself, that's going to happen. That is going to happen to you, and that is going to happen to the best of us. Presidents have surely pooped themselves. And supermodels, too, have done so. Most of your favorite celebrities have surely pooped themselves. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your poop.
And that's Young and Happy. Catch you guys next week.
Look up in the night sky, cause you know where to be seen. Never thought I'd be the one living for fantasy. Got me onto higher ground, I think I'm in too deep. When you heard me calling for you, already giving up on someone that you love, someone that you love, someone that you love. Like you don't know me, cause you got too much going on. For someone that you love, someone that you love, someone that you love. I've been waiting, won't give up on you. I am waiting, always waiting for you. Dust in the daylight is when I need you most. Living in a place where I can't seem to keep you close, but you just go where the wind blows. When you heard me calling for you, already giving up on someone that you love, someone that you love, someone that you love. Act like you don't know me, cause you got too much going on. For someone that you love, someone that you love, someone that you love. I've been waiting.
I'm Rob Cesternino, the aptly named Rob Has a Podcast, where we're creating fun, smart conversation around reality TV games like Survivor. And this March, Survivor Game Changers is finally here. Join me weekdays for episode recaps, player interviews, and of course, your feedback. So if you're ready for a game change in your own Survivor experience, download Rob Has a Podcast at podcastone.com on the Podcast One app or subscribe on iTunes.